Hello, listeners. I'm Bala, and welcome to my podcast, Great Minds. Muhammad Ali, I do not have to introduce this person who is widely regarded as one of the most significant and celebrated sports figure of the 20th century. He quoted, "Service to others is the rent you pay for your own room here on earth." And Mahatma Gandhi also said the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Today, my guest is Karthi, also known as Karthiba Kandiba Kadirava Prasanna Deepan Chakravarti. Yes, a name with 6 words and 52 characters. Karthi is the CEO and founder of Team Everest, one of the biggest youth-run NGO in India. They have more than 15,000 volunteers focusing on making a difference by providing quality education to financially challenged children through volunteering. Hello, Karthi. How are you?
Hi, Bala. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, Karthi. Thanks for asking. First, let me start with your 6 words and 52 characters name. How did that happen?
Okay. Actually, I revealed about that name only today on social media. Yeah, glad that you looked into that post. That name happened because, you know, like when I was born, my family was trying to name me and everyone came up with different names. Someone called me Karthiban, another one Kandiban, Kadiravan, Prasanna, Deepan, Chakravarti. So many names are coming. So, you know, like my family do not want to disappoint my family members. So what they thought, you know, like they joined all these names together and named me with Karthiba, Kandiba, Kadeva, Prasanna, Deepan, Chakravarti.
So does your passport hold all these names?
No, not at all. It'll be so difficult for me to put like 52 characters. Yeah.
Exactly. So Karthi, you've been volunteering since 2002 and right. Power of Kindness. How was your perspective changed from 2002 to 2020?
See, one thing that amazed me at while I started volunteering is, you know, like I got to know that we have power to change lives. I think that was one of the eye-opening moment for me, actually. You know, like I used to tell this story in 2008, I think. So we met a student in a place called Bodinaikan, or in Thirani district. He was selling samosas on street, but he got like more than 80-85% in his plus two, and he didn't have enough money to go and join engineering. So one of the school teacher actually introduced us to him. And when we got to know, he was selling samosas in the street. And I asked him what he wants to do. He told he wants to become an automobile engineer. But unfortunately, he didn't even have rupees 500 in his hand to go and buy that application form and apply for Anna University counseling. So, you know, like we asked him whether he'll be interested to study if we support him. He told yes. So I came back. I wrote a mail to my friends and the team members, volunteers, and people contributed, and we sponsored all his 4 years of engineering. And you know, like after which he completed his engineering, he joined Renault Nissan and is today an assistant manager in Royal Enfield. And he bought his own home right now, married and happily settled with his children and wife. For me, right, that's an eye-opening moment, because, you know, like if not for our intervention, he could have ended up still selling samosas on street. I think that's the power of volunteering. You know, like we all humans, doesn't matter who we are, everyone has something in them, you know, like which this world needs. So we all have the potential to change lives and make someone happy in our lifetime.
That's great to know you're impacting young children to achieve what they want in their life. Tell us about your student selection process. How did you identify, for example, this person who's selling the samosa on the street? How did you identify them?
See, basically, we do a lot of different initiatives, but scholarship is one of our key flagship initiatives that we do at Team Everest. So currently, we do a scholarship program called I Am the Change Scholarship in Chennai, where we identify parentless and single-parented students, and we sponsor them for their UG degree. So what happens is it's an 8-step selection process, actually, and it starts with a school application drive. So every October, November, we go to around 150-200 government schools in Chennai. So we meet the principal, explain them about the scholarship program, and then get permission to meet the plus two students, so 12th standard students. And we go and we identify who are parentless, single parented, and orient them about the scholarship, and we get their applications. So, you know, like last year, probably this year, we got like 6,000 applications already. You know, like so far, we're doing this only in Chennai. This year, we expanded to Chennai, Coimbatore, and Madurai in Tamil Nadu in India. So, we got like 6,000 applications. Once this application we receive, then we actually do the, a verification call once the plus two results are out, and we check whether they have scored more than 60%. So once they have scored more than 60%, then we do a telephonic interview. Then there'll be a home visit where one of our volunteers goes to their home, do an interview and look at their homes and surroundings. After that, you know, like we have an event called SEED, Student Express Evaluation Day, where we ask the student and their parent. Most of them are, you know, like single parent, so they come with their mother, or if they are parentless, they come with their aunt or uncle. Okay, so they bring them, and we do a parent interview, student interview. There is a test that's been conducted, and then we get a commitment from them that they will complete their graduation without dropping out in between. And it's called as I Am the Change Scholarship, because, you know, like we believe every beneficiary is a change agent as well. So they actually give a written commitment that once they finish their graduation and you know, like reach a good position in their life, they will start sponsoring another student, so that making it as a chain reaction. So they also get that commitment. So post which, you know, like once we do all these interviews, like about for every student we have some 80 to 120 data points. So we use these data points as well as we do both the quantitative analysis and qualitative analysis, because numbers alone do not tell the true story. So we check into all these things. We have kind of a parliamentary system. So a core team of 5 people or 10 people come together, and they will vote which students to select and sponsor. So last year, like we got like 6,000 applications and we sponsored 200 children. So it's like only 3% of the applicants get our scholarship program. So that's the overall process. Like we spend like 2 months in shortlisting the students, another 2 months in getting applications from deserving children. So we spend almost 4 months in identifying deserving students and giving them scholarships.
That's great. Wonderful to know you have that 8-step selection process, Karthi, and then like 80 to 120 data points. And it's not like you are randomly selecting. There is a process involved. And I'm very happy that children you are sponsoring, you're also getting commitment that they have to sponsor another children once they reach to the level that they can sponsor. That's a great initiative.
Thank you. Yeah.
So as part of, 21A article in Constitution of India, it is government responsibility to provide free and compulsory education for all children from the age 6 to 14. It's a fundamental right. Why would a volunteer organization like Team Everest support education to children?
Okay. See, if you look at a country like India, right, we have a massive population. And I mean, I would definitely appreciate government in terms of taking schools to nook and corner of different villages, so that, you know, like children will get at least primary education, and then, you know, like they join middle school, high school, high secondary school. So a lot of people, successful people, have come out of very remote rural villages and they've reached a very good position now. So despite all these things, right, see, government is again, you know, like our people whom we appoint, and, you know, like they also have so many commitments. So despite, you know, like investing a lot of money and other stuff, they still run out of resources, one. And beyond that, you know, like there's a lot more things that these children needed. So, you know, like say for example in Tamil Nadu, if you look at it, they don't teach you computer till 10th grade. It's not even part of their curriculum. So imagine in 21st century, you are learning, I mean, you know, like you are completing your schooling without learning computers. So after 10th, you know, like only if you take computer science group, you learn computer. If not, you take a biology group or a commerce group, you don't learn computer, you finish your schooling without learning computers. And then, you know, like say if you have taken biology group, you go and join physiotherapy, where again you don't learn computer. So you even finish college without learning computers itself. In 21st century, I think digital literacy skill is something, you know, like it's like your basic communication skill, very crucial for success in your career. So these kinds of stuff, you know, like is still missing. So ideally, you know, we have built a very huge system, you know, like which is very slow to change and move, you know, like, but if you look at the outside world, it's growing very rapidly. So catching up with that pace becomes very, very difficult. So we are actually training them for jobs which is not going to exist in future. So that's where the challenge comes in. So that's where, you know, I believe organizations like Team Everest, we can pitch in and help people like, you know, like Karthik and so many people, and help them become prepared, you know, like face the future. Like today, like train like 5,500 children on computers every day in Chennai. You know, like we got a corporate sponsor and we have set up computer lab in 10 schools. So which is not even part of the curriculum, but luckily because organization like us is currently offering, so government gives us permissions to run this, so that, you know, like we are able to take more offerings to the children, Bala. So I think, you know, like organization like us and individuals, we are all trying to help government and help our people and help them bring their full potential.
I understand. Basically, you're augmenting an established government process and procedures, and then making the children ready for the future.
Absolutely. We are just going and supporting government. We are not trying to replace whatever government is trying to do. They used to tell the entire village comes to pull the chariot, right? The ultimate goal is to make the chariot moving and, you know, like bring it across the temple. I think that's exactly what we are all trying to do. The end goal is same. How do you make it different? How do you help the child and bring their potential out?
Agreed. Related to that, I have another question. So early in the age, education was driven by religion, and then it slowly become driven by the government. And now it has evolved as aiming for advantage, as you said, future ready, ensuring our people have advantage on the world stage. So how does Team Everest contribute in making that young learners are aligned with such evolution of education?
Yes, we at Team Everest always tell, you know, like certificates, degrees are kind of useless. And I strongly believe next 5 to 10 years, all these things is going to become obsolete. Like, you know, like because of now COVID has come, remote learning is taking pace. Future is going to be about skills. You know, like what skill you have, how am I going to make a meaningful contribution to it? So what we do to our children is we conduct a lot of skill development classes for our children, like digital literacies, spoken English classes. We do lot of soft skill training. So we call it as missing curriculum, because, you know, like these are very, very crucial things. See, today I'm a metallurgical engineer who learned about metals for 4 years, but I joined an IT company. I worked as a Java developer. Then, you know, like I moved into a CSR department, corporate social responsibility. It's nothing to do with metals in all these places. But what actually helped me thrive in this world is that, you know, like the soft skills that which I learned. I think, you know, like skills really matters. So the future is going to be about who masters the skills is going to have better chances of survival.
Rightly said, Karthik. I am a biology student.
And okay.
I'm into IT now. And I'm into various other things which is not related to biology at all. Everything that happened to me is based on my skills. And what you're doing to young learners is great. You know, if they are ready for future, and if the industry is taking them, more and more people will realize that that's what is needed and move towards that.
Exactly. See, my uncle studied zoology, and he ended up working in a bank, as if animals are going to come to bank for deposits. So, you know, like, so degrees doesn't matter. What matters is true knowledge, what skill you have, and how you are going to put these skills and knowledge to, you know, like make this world better and help fellow human beings.
You are also not just stopping on the soft skills, right? You're also ensuring that individual completes a graduation or a degree program, so that the selection process they will get through. In current world, we don't have a selection process based on skills, right? It's all based on education.
Yes, Bala. So see, basically that is the overall idea. See, what happened is, like, if we go back to the same Karthik story, the samosa seller story, which I told you. So those days we were supporting students, picking up students across Tamil Nadu, and we were supporting them. So we were giving them only financial assistance. We didn't do any training for them. So when Karthik actually finished his engineering, he didn't get a good job. I was wondering why he didn't get a job. So when I called him and I interviewed him, I got to know that, you know, like he couldn't communicate very fluently, and he had the fear of interview, all those stuff. So that was an eye-opener for me, because, you know, the entire family of Karthik was dependent upon him, because his father passed away when he was doing engineering. And, you know, like, the people of their families waiting for Karthik to go to a good job, and here he finished engineering but not getting a job here. That was an eye-opener. So 2012, we stopped taking children outside Chennai, because we are based out of Chennai. So we started taking children only from Chennai so that we can start doing training programs for them. So today, if we look at it, what matters for us is more than that financial lesson that we do, it's the training that we offer to them. Because, you know, I feel for the underprivileged children, most of the people think finance is the only challenge, but I would say that's one of the challenges. But the biggest challenge is, right, I always used to tell, that's why we at Team Everest did do CXO webinars also, where, you know, like, you also came as a chief guest and address our children. I was so worried that our, you know, like, most of the children have a very small dream. You know, like, I'm a big fan of Abdul Kalam. So Kalam used to tell, you know, like, small aim is a crime. So I feel, you know, just because the size of a purse is small doesn't mean you need to have a very small dream. So what you're trying to do is, you know, like, make them dream big, motivate them and give them enough skills so that they can go out with flying colors and, you know, like, explore this world like everyone else does. That's what we do at Team Everest, Bala.
So in the past 14 years or 16 years, you would have impacted so many lives. Would you be able to share some success stories, like Karthi, one of the example, where students transform their lives due to your contribution?
Absolutely. Yeah, see, I could go on and on about so many students like this. When I used to participate in the school, you know, like, whenever there's some extracurricular activities like drawing or singing, something like this comes up, I never participate in it, because, you know, like, you will always have that friend sitting next to you who will be, you know, like, warning you not to participate because of the fear of failure. Because if you're going to fail, you know, like, people are going to make fun of you, and, you know, like, you will never get that motivation to go and participate at all. So I felt very bad, you know, like, I never got an opportunity, because, you know, like, always if essay competition, it's only the student, you know, like, with the first rank, second rank student used to participate. So I'm always an average ranker, and how do I go and participate there? So I never participated there, but that was hunting me for a long time. So in 2009, we did an initiative called as Everest Talent Search Competition, where my idea is to go conduct this competition for 1 lakh children across India and give them an opportunity. So our idea is to give participation certificate and motivate people, especially. It's not about identifying winners, but it's about making most of the children to participate. So whichever school we visit, we almost engage 80-90% of the children will participate in our competitions. So, you know, like, we did this, and when, you know, like, I think some 5 years back, when I was hiring a person for Team Everest, there was one girl who came. And when I was looking into her certificate, she had the same certificate which I gave during this 2009 Everest Talent Search competition. So I felt so happy, you know, like, life comes a full circle to you. So, yeah, so, and we had a student who was fatherless, and, you know, like, we educated their entire family. And you know, like, we hired both those children in Team Everest itself. And their mom also worked in Team Everest as an housekeeping staff. So, you know, the entire family was working. And today, you know, like, these children become developers within Team Everest. They are contributing heavily, and, you know, they are taking care of their mothers. So, yeah, right, so these are something I can immediately recollect, Bala.
Yeah, that's great. You know, what you give is what you get, right? So you train them and they come back to you as a staff. You know, that's great.
Exactly. I know a parentless child. Her name is Divya. You know, like, she was taken care of by her grandfather, and during her final year, her grandfather also passed away. So she didn't even know where to go and stay. And, you know, like, luckily with support from one of the volunteers, you know, like, she got to stay in a PG. You know, like, she did her engineering. She's a very hardworking girl, and she got placed in, I think, Infosys. She, you know, like, whenever any festival comes, like Diwali, Pongal, she doesn't know where to go. She will just stay in the PG itself. She did not have anyone in her life. And, you know, like, she got on-site opportunities. So she went to, I think, Canada, Switzerland, all those places she visited. And finally, she got married, I think, 1-2 years back. And finally, she has a family. Like, stories like this actually inspire us a lot, because, you know, like, when you don't even have anyone, imagine the kind of emotion that will go through, but still, you know, like, coming up as a topper and coming as a best performer in a company like Infosys, getting on-site opportunities. I think that's the power of education. That's the power of human beings. You know, like, you fight against all those odds.
Power of kindness. That kind of realized by the outcome of your activities.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have talked about all the contribution that you make to the community and society, to the country. Tell us about who is Karthi.
Okay. See, I'm a volunteer. That's what I define. So all my social media friends go and see, will see Karthi will be a volunteer. Basically, because I think that's what gives me identity. So when I was wondering what I should do with my life, my calling has always been volunteering. How do I motivate people to give back to the society? So my vision is to inspire every Indian to volunteer. Imagine a country like India where you have 130 crores people, more than a billion people volunteering. We can bring a huge difference. So I always felt, everyone has that goodness inside them. How do you tap that potential and channelize it to the welfare of the society? I think that's why Team Everest exists, and I think that's what Karthi is all about. How do you connect with people, bring their goodness and channelize it to the welfare of the society? So all I'm doing is bridging this gap between the beneficiary and the giver, so that more and more people give and more beneficiary benefits.
Yeah, 1 month before I didn't know about Karthi Vidya. I know about Karthi Vidya. Now I'm volunteering a lot of things that you do. I'm very happy, impacting somebody's life. At the end of the day, I can sleep well.
Exactly, Bala. So I always used to, in fact, we always think beneficiary gets more, but I've always seen in my, past 14 years of my volunteering experience, is the volunteer who always gets more than the beneficiary.
I'm realizing that.
Yes.
Finally, tell us about your support to 2025 students by the year 2025. How far have you come? What support is needed from the listeners of this podcast?
Okay, Bala. So yeah, so like I told you, this I Am the Change Scholarship is a program we started in 2016. We are into fifth year of the program. See, one of the challenges that we always face is, we get so many applications, but we are able to sponsor only a tiny numbers there. 3% of the applicants only we are able to support. Like last year, we got 6,200 applications. We ended up sponsoring only 200 children, which is like 3.1% of the applicants. But had we had money, say for example, say I'm from Ambani's family or Birla's and Tata's family, right? I would have sponsored at least 2,000 children there. I would easily tell one third of the children who applied last year were very, very deserving children. And these are parentless and single-parented children who are applying to us. Imagine, even with both the parents need to work throughout the year to educate a child. They have to work throughout their lifetime to educate their children. Imagine if it's a single parent with an illiterate mother taking care of them, or if it's a parentless child who's taken care of by their grandma or grandpa, getting old and, you do not have any funds to support them. So the very default option for a lot of these children is to drop out. So, whenever we get these applications and we couldn't help go beyond 3-4%, I feel very bad rejecting a lot of applications. So that's when we came up with this 2025 goal. So where, our idea is to, start supporting 2025 students by 2025. So that's the idea. We are at 200 at 2019, and 2020 we are planning to take 420 students for whom we have raised 200 children. We have raised funds. We need funds for 220 more children. So I keep increasing these numbers. So by 2025, I want to help 2025 children. So obviously we need a lot of support, just in case individuals who are listening to it can contribute to this by becoming a monthly donor or an yearly donor, by donating any amount of your choice. We also let you know to which student the money went. If you want, you can interact with your child. You can go to our website, teamrs.ngo. You could see, how we are doing, what we are doing, who we are. So that way, you will also understand how this will benefit a huge number of children. Because if we are not going to support these children, a lot of these children end up as school dropouts. So, I believe these children have the potential inside them. A very little help at the right time will make a huge difference to these children, Bala. So yeah, individuals can contribute. If you are from a corporate or someone, you can pitch this to your CSR team. You can reach me at my mobile number is 8939912365. So this is my number. It's an Indian number, so you can reach out to me anytime on WhatsApp, and I'd be happy to guide you. So you can pitch it in corporates, or you can put me in touch with any of our networks who think could contribute for this. So all these are kind of financial support, which is the which is a huge need for the scholarship program. But beyond this, we do a lot of volunteering program also in terms of giving time. Like I told you, my vision itself is to promote volunteering in the country. So in case you want to volunteer, like Bala, want to give time and educate a child, we have like 17 different volunteering opportunities on our website. You can visit our website, teameverest.ngo, and you would see all our volunteering opportunities. Just go sign up for any of these initiatives and volunteer and give you a time to educate the children. So whatever way you want to support, you could always help us. The choice is yours. As long as you give, it doesn't matter in what form you are helping people.
And Karthi Vidya, once again, thank you so much for your time and giving more information about what is Team Everest, why you do this, and what's the impact that you have made.
Thank you so much for giving this opportunity and helping us take this message to a huge audience, Bala.
Listeners, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Those were wonderful words inspired by Martin Luther King. Thank you so much for listening, and I will meet you in my next podcast.